You've probably heard that phrase about separating the sheep from the goats. Do you know where it came from? It came from the Word of God. It came from Jesus' final discourse as he told about the end of the age. He told about a time when he would sit on his glorious throne and gather all the nations before him and then separate them as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And what does that have to do with you? What precept for life does God have for you? We'll see today as we look at the book. Jesus is bringing his final discourse in the Gospel of Matthew to a close. And as he brings it to a close, I want to remind you of what he's told them. He has told them that there is a time of tribulation coming for them. There is a time when they are going to see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, and they are to flee, and they are to flee because there will be a persecution such as has never been, nor will ever be again. This is a persecution, as I told you and taught you, that is mentioned in Daniel, and it's mentioned in Joel, and then it's mentioned again in the Gospel of Mark, and it's mentioned again in Matthew chapter 24. So we know that there's going to be a great persecution of the Jews. We know that Jesus came to his own. His own were the Jews, and his own received him not. But it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Now, as he brings this discourse to a close, he is once again pointing them to the time when the Son of Man will come and sit on his glorious throne. And he's going to tell us what's going to happen in that day. It's a very, very important passage. It's one that you need to pay close attention to. But you need to understand it within its context. Because remember, context is king. It's context that determines the way we interpret a passage. And so, in Matthew chapter 25, in verse 31, he says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered together before him. And he will separate them as the sheep are separated from the goats. This was the job of the shepherd. Why? Because when the shepherd took the sheep out, oftentimes the goats would go with them. Now it is a time of reward. Now it is a time of judgment. Because when the Son of Man comes on his glorious throne, then the nations have to be judged according to their treatment to the Jews. Finally, there is a day of reckoning. Before we look at this anymore, I want to take us to the book of Joel. And I want to show you a parallel passage. In Joel chapter 3, in that final chapter, it says, hasten, verse 11, and come, all you surrounding nations, and gather yourselves there. Bring down, O Lord, your mighty ones. Let the nations be aroused and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge. The valley of Jehoshaphat is the same as the Kidron Valley. It's the valley that runs between the Mount of Olives and the Temple Mount. And he says, I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. He is going to sit, and he is going to judge the nations. Now, when we come to Matthew chapter 25, it's when he sits on his glorious throne. And all those nations are gathered before him. And as they're gathered before them, it says in verse 33, he will put the sheep on his right, The right-hand side of a throne was the throne, the side of power, and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Now, you want to mark the word kingdom in the same way we've been marking it throughout the Gospel of Matthew. But you also want to mark from the foundation of the world. Because once again, you see the sovereignty of God in salvation. You see that God, in his omniscience, knows those who have been chosen before the foundation of the world. So the sheep are on the right, and it's the sheep that are going to inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 35, he says, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. You did this to me. You sheep did this to me. And they're going to look at him, and they're going to say, then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? When did we do this, Lord? And the king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. To the very poorest Jewish person or Israelite, whatever you want to call them, to the most prominent, whoever was suffering persecution, whoever was hungry and he couldn't buy food. And why can they not buy food? Because those last 3.5 years before the coming of the Son of Man, when there is going to be a tribulation such as has never been, those people are going to suffer. And they're going to suffer because they're not going to take what we call the mark of the beast. Let me take you to Revelation chapter 13 just for a bit of review so that you understand what is going to happen during that time. In Revelation chapter 13, we know that he is going to have power for 42 months, for 3.5 years. And it's talking about the beast. It says there was given to him in verse 5, a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies and authority to act for 42 months. That was given to him. It was given to who we know to be the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. We know it was given to the one that breaks the covenant in Daniel chapter 9. It's all the same person. We know that it's the one that walks into the Holy of Holies and declares himself to be God. It is the king that is described at the end of Daniel chapter 11. It is the one that is described in Daniel chapter 12. This is the one that is called the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. And it says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was also given to him to make war with the saints, with the holy ones, with the ones that are set aside, with the ones that are going to be persecuted, with the ones that are going to be in prison, with the ones that are going to be mistreated, hungry, thirsty, naked. And he goes on to say, he makes war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. You see, it is a day when once again Jesus divides the world. There are those that are for him and there are those that are against him. The line is drawn. It's the clash of the kingdoms. It's the clash of the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light. And in that clash of the kingdoms. What we find is this Antichrist is like a catalyst, and he's drawing all the enemies of God to him, and he then rules over them. And it says, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone, now listen carefully, whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb who has been slain. In other words, all of those that do not belong to God, who from the foundation of the world have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, these are the enemies. These are the ones that go and they bow the knee and they worship this one, this Antichrist. And the only way that people are going to be able to buy and sell is according to whether they take the mark of the beast. And so it says in verse 14, and this is the false prophet, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak out and cause as many as those who do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So you can imagine people will be fleeing. And you can imagine that faithful remnant that comes through the fire, that stands fast, who is going to believe and recognize that Yeshua is the Messiah. And when they're going to stand fast, well, who's going to help them? Who's going to clothe them? Who's going to feed them? Who's going to give them something to drink? It's the sheep that are on the right. It is the sheep who believe and are followers of God and who honor God, who are not caught up in the rest of the nations. And these are the ones that are going to be blessed. And it talks about the false prophet. And he causes all, the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the freemen and the slaves, to be given a mark on the right hand or in their forehead. And it says, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. 666. These are the ones that give their allegiance to the Antichrist, that give their allegiance to the man of lawlessness. And these are the ones that God is going to judge.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Talking about that time when the king will come and sit on his glorious throne and gather all the nations before him. And then he will separate the sheep from the goats, even as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put a sheep on the right hand, and he will tell them that they are blessed of God and that they are going to reap life eternal. And we saw that they're going to reap eternal life because of what they did to those brothers of his, those brothers that were suffering during that great, great tribulation. So we've looked at the sheep. Now what about the goats? In verse 41, it says, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones. Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil. It was prepared for his angels. It was prepared for the one who rose up in rebellion against him. It was prepared for the anointed cherub who covers, and yet who decided that he would be like God and he would exalt his throne above God. It was prepared for the serpent, the devil of old, Satan, who came into the garden and who challenged God and who said, "Yea, has God said?" God prepared the lake of eternal fire for them and for the angels that chose to follow him in his rebellion. He did not prepare it for man. And yet man sided with the devil. And now what we have is we have the judgment of the nations. The righteous one has come. The righteous one is sitting on his glorious throne. And the righteous one now is going to tell those who are going to inherit eternal damnation. Eternal damnation in the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And he said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and we did not take care of you?" And then he will answer, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me." Those will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You know, so often we want to believe in eternal life, but we do not want to believe in eternal judgment. We don't like the idea that judgment could last for all eternity, that it could go on forever and ever. We don't like the idea that there is a place where the worm dies not, where the fire is not quenched. And yet, beloved, you have to know this, that the same Greek word that is used for eternal life is the same Greek word that is used for eternal punishment. What is happening? All of this is happening when Jesus Christ returns from heaven, when he sits on his glorious throne, when he begins to judge the earth in righteousness. And what he's doing, and you have to understand this, is he is judging those that are living at the time of his return. He is judging those who have who are the nations who have either treated the Jews right or mistreated the Jews. Remember what he said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you." Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. Jesus was of the house of David. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was an Israelite. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And yet he did not reject his own. And so during that final time of tribulation, such as the world has never seen, there is a dividing of the sheep from the goats at that time, according to whether they honor God's word and do as they should do, and that is take care of the Jews. Down through the ages, you've seen it. You saw it in the Crusades. If you studied the history, or if you've read my book, Israel, My Beloved, you see it in the Crusades. You see it in the Russian programs. You see it in the time of Hitler. You see it in the Holocaust. There were Gentiles from the nations, and the Jews called them the righteous Gentiles, that at the peril of their own lives took the Jews in, hid them, fed them, clothed them, protected them, went to prison, and took care of them. Those righteous Gentiles serve as a picture for us of the sheep when Jesus Christ comes in his glory. Just know this, he's going to divide the nations, and immediately, those people that have treated the Jews right are going to have the gift of eternal life. And those that have not, immediately, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, into eternal punishment. They will live forever and ever. Precious one, what you and I need to know and understand is that once we are born, we are eternal beings. We're going to live for all eternity in one place or the other. We're either going to live in the presence of God and enjoy eternal life, or we're going to live in the presence of the devil and his angels, and we are going to suffer the torment of eternal punishment. You may say to me, I don't like that. I don't like that. I can't believe that about God. And all I can say to you, precious one, is if you can't believe that about God, it's because you haven't read the book. It's because you haven't read the whole counsel of God. It is because you have not honored his precepts for life. It is because you have not esteemed his word more precious than your necessary food. Because if you'll read the book, if you'll open the book and read the book, if you'll read it from cover to cover, you'll understand that day when he sits on his glorious throne and separates the sheep from the goats. The question is, what is your attitude towards Israel? What is your attitude to those that, in a sense, are blood brothers of Jesus Christ? You better treat them the way God says to treat them. So let's go back to Matthew. He says to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father. He addresses them as blessed of my Father. Then he tells them how they took care of him, because they took care of the least of the brethren. In verse 37, it says, then the righteous will answer him. These are righteous people. Remember, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So many times we think it's all by faith. Yes, it is all by faith. But faith has its evidence. And the evidence of faith is righteousness. Have you got that? The evidence of faith is righteousness. These people were righteous and they took care of the Jews because of what they believed. They were willing to risk their lives. They were willing to side with even the least of these because they were righteous. Righteousness is doing what God says is right. It's not what you think is right or wrong. And then when he turns to the goats in verse 41, it says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire. Depart from me, accursed ones. Why are they accursed? They are accursed because they are not righteous. Only the righteous are going to inherit eternal life. Only the righteous are going to inherit the kingdom of God. Precious one, precious, precious one, my question to you is this. Is there a righteousness that supports the words of your mouth? Do you live according to what God says is right? Otherwise, if you don't, your profession is nothing without the deeds that follow it. as I've taught you all this today, beloved, have you thought, but it doesn't pertain to me? I'm living now. It's not the time when the Son of Man is coming on his glorious throne. I'm not the one that is going to live through this time of tribulation, because none of the things that are supposed to happen have happened yet. So what does this mean to me? Hey, that's a good question. What does it mean to you? What is the example that you and I can get from this passage? Why has God recorded it in his word? Why does he want you and me to know it, although you and I are not living at that time? He wants us to know and to understand that there's a principle, a precept for life behind this. And that precept for life is this, that the righteous should always live righteously. And if I'm going to live righteously, what am I going to do? I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. So that means whatever period of time, whatever age I am living in, there is going to be a love within me given to me by God, so that I in turn am allowing that love to flow through to other people. So when this is what I do. I get up in the morning, and many, many times, or especially when I know that I'm going to be out among the public or I'm going to be at a convention or someplace, I say, Lord, here I am. And there are people out there that need to know your love. So, Lord, love them through me. I ask the Lord, speak to people through me. Help me to be kind to others. Help me to take the love that you have given me, the mercy that you have given me, the compassion that you have given to me, and extend that to others. So that, Lord, when I am kind to them, I am kind to them because of you. I am kind to them. I'm here in your stead. Jesus said, greater works than what I do, you will do also. You're going to do the works that I did, but you're going to do greater works. You look at Jesus, and where did he move? He ate with tax gatherers. He ate with sinners. He kept company with prostitutes. And how did he treat them? Was he mean? Was he rude? No, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he laid down his life as a ransom for many. So God's precept for life for you and me today is treat others with the love and the mercy and the compassion and the grace that God has given to you. Be his arms, be his mouth, be his heart.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.